This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of RavensWire, and we return here. Unfortunately, we have no Victory Monday here on the show. And we won't for a very long time as the Baltimore Ravens fall to the Buffalo Bills 17-3 in the divisional round on a Saturday night in which the Ravens just could not get anything going on offense. The special teams unit struggled. The defense, to their credit, they played a very good football game, but only scoring 3 points in the playoffs were the Baltimore Ravens for the first time since January 16, 2010, literally 11 years to the day. So for the Ravens, this was a tough one. It seemed like the Ravens had what it took to win, at least going into the game. But once that first kickoff happened, Baltimore gets the ball. They start running the ball down the Bills' throat, and it's working. Lamar Jackson takes that sack on first down with a free rusher that comes into his face within probably the first 0.5 seconds of the play. Instead of throwing it away, he takes the sack. That's a big turning point in the game that I think really haunted the Ravens. Then Justin Tucker misses a field goal on that first possession, and he misses another one later in the game. And, you know, Sam Cook shanks a punt. The offense can't get anything moving. We're going to talk about all of it here on Locked On Ravens. We're in off-season mode now, but that does not mean the show stop on Locked On Ravens. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. That's how the shows work during the season. That's how the shows work during the off-season. We are a full 365-day podcast, or I guess not really because we take 2 days off on the weekends, but still, we are daily Ravens content here on Locked On Ravens, and I do really appreciate everyone who listens, whether this is your first time listening, whether you've been with me since the beginning of last year. I truly appreciate each and every single person that tunes in here and has gone along this wild ride of a journey of Baltimore Ravens football with me over the past year and some change. And we're not done yet. The Ravens are not done yet. Yes, it was a disappointing end to the 2020-2021 season, but the Ravens, they're just a few pieces away. They do have to make some changes personnel-wise. I'd assume probably a few coaching-wise. So in the first segment, we'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens offense and talk about how they only managed to score 3 points on that Buffalo defense. Then in the second segment, we'll flip the field and talk about the Ravens defense and how they held Josh Allen and that Bills offense to just 10 points. And I'm saying 10 because 7 of those points came on that Lamar Jackson pick 6. And then finally, we'll be talking with Peter Bukowski of Locked On NFL and Locked On Packers about just what happened with Baltimore. We'll get into the remaining playoff scores in the divisional round and then talk a tiny bit about where the Ravens go from here. But throughout the whole offseason here on Locked On Ravens, we will have free agency coverage. We will have draft coverage, season recap, 2021 season previews, guests, analysis, and so much more. So this show is not going anywhere, just like the Baltimore Ravens. So let's jump right into this recap episode here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at ChaosRecord34 for any Ravens news, analysis, updates, historical perspectives, and more. So with all that being said, let's jump right in here to this Ravens 17-3 divisional round loss to the Buffalo Bills. And we'll talk about the Ravens offense first. And yes, I think the word that comes to most people's minds when they talk about this Ravens offense in this game has to be just disappointment. And it seems like a lot could have gone well for this Ravens offense, but Just game script did not really favor the Ravens in this one. And that's kind of weird, right? Because this game is 3-3 going into the half. The Bills come out, they score a touchdown on their opening possession of the second half. And then a pick six towards the end of that third quarter for Lamar Jackson. But it's crazy to look at, again, this Baltimore Ravens quarter-by-quarter scoring chart. So we'll start with the first quarter. Buffalo, 3-0. Ravens score no points. Buffalo scores 3 points. Second quarter, Baltimore 3 points. Buffalo 0 points. Third quarter is where it all starts to fall apart. Baltimore no points. Buffalo 14 points. And then finally the fourth quarter, no team scored a point in the fourth quarter. So we've talked about this all season, right? The Ravens can't play consistent football for 60 minutes. It's the defense, it's the offense, it's whatever. We've usually kind of talked about it with the defense. But in this game, it was the third quarter, and it really was the offense. You know, the defense, they do their job. Yes, there were a few suspect, I guess, play calls, execution plays by the defense early in that third quarter. But for the most part, I mean, look, holding Josh Allen and the Bills' offense to 10 points, you can't really ask for much more than that. You'd expect your high-scoring, amazing running offense to go out there and put up more than just 10 points on the scoreboard. And even if we factor in the pick 6 points, you would still expect Baltimore's offense to score more than 17 points, right? Well, Baltimore only scores 20 against Tennessee in the wildcard round, and they only score 3 against the Bills. Lamar Jackson, 14 of 24 for 162 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception. He leaves the game with a concussion. Tyler Huntley comes in, 6 of 13 for him for 60 yards, no touchdowns, and no interceptions. For Lamar Jackson, look, this game was not on Lamar Jackson. He did make some bad decisions. I'm not excusing him from any and all criticism. He took that sack I mentioned in the first quarter on that opening drive. That was a killer. It really was a killer. And then there were a few other instances. Lamar Jackson can't hit targets on a few of his throws. He obviously throws that pick six. That was really the back-breaking bad decision. But look, when we talk about Lamar Jackson, when we talk about any quarterback, we have to start with the offensive line. We've seen what quarterbacks can do with an elite offensive line. We saw what Dallas did all those years ago, or I guess it seems like all those years ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. With the elite offensive line deemed one of the best in the NFL, they had playmakers up there. And what did Dallas do? They ran the football like no other. They were able to pass the football too, like no other. Back when Dez Bryant was still on the Cowboys, you know, that offensive line headed by Zach Martin and Tyrone Smith and Travis Frederick. Those were the days for that Dallas Cowboy offense, and what do we see now? Even with Dak Prescott, Dallas, they lose most of their offensive linemen, and they cannot produce on the offensive side of the ball. For Baltimore, I talked about it earlier in the season. You know, they had an offensive line that was struggling. Ball carriers were getting tackled right as the exchange happened. Lamar Jackson had no time to throw. When you're a quarterback in the NFL, regardless of how good you are, outside of a few elite players such as Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and even, you know, Josh Allen showed that he could do it in the game against Baltimore as well, when there is a free rusher coming at a quarterback, as well as guys beating their guys off of blocks and converging on the quarterback all at once, it's extremely difficult when Lamar Jackson or any other quarterback has no time to throw the football. The offensive line let Lamar Jackson down in this game, and serious changes are coming to the offensive line in the offseason. The Ravens have their bookend tackles in Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown. Those two will be coming back for 2021. But Matt Skura is all but gone from Baltimore. He has most likely played his last snap. Patrick McCurry is staying in Baltimore, and he rightfully should be staying in Baltimore. He had a terrible game against Buffalo, was getting beat off of blocks, couldn't snap the football. A lot of the reason the Ravens lost this game does fall on Patrick McCurry, and I know he knows that, and it was unfortunate because McCurry was playing really, really well up till this point. But he is somebody who, in my opinion, is a very versatile backup. He's the guy you want as your swing guy. That's who I'm taking in that role. The Ravens have tried it with DJ Fluker. They've tried it with James Hurst, for example. You know, but now it's the time for Patrick McCurry to really take on that role for them. Bradley Bozeman, not a great game for him. He didn't play terribly, but he also didn't play very well. And then Ben Powers, it's terrible. He had his worst game as a Raven, and I feel for the whole Ravens offensive line, but at the end of the day, you have to go out, execute, and show up when it matters. This Ravens offensive line, you know, they failed to do that. Tyree Phillips had a pretty bad day as well. You know, DJ Fluker, you didn't necessarily hear his name called a ton, but still, you know, it's different potentially if Orlando Brown is on that right side instead of DJ Fluker. Even J.K. Dobbins had his worst game in pass protection and arguably catching the football as well. He dropped two key passes for that Ravens offense. So, you know, Lamar Jackson in this game, he exits and he has a concussion, but the offensive line just put him in a situation where, look, snaps were going over his head. Guys were getting into the pocket really, really easily, whether it was a free rusher, whether guys just whiffed in pass protection and let their man beat them. This was a complete letdown by the offensive line, and there will be changes coming in the offseason for sure there. On the ground, Gus Edwards, 10 carries, 42 yards. J.K. Dobbins, 10 carries, 42 yards. Lamar Jackson, 9 carries, 34 yards. And Tyler Huntley, 3 carries for 32 yards. This was a game for me on the offensive side of the ball where the Ravens failed to adjust. I praise the coaching staff and the players for doing it against Tennessee. That's what won them the game. And arguably in Buffalo, this is really what lost them the game. And, you know, it's disappointing. It's upsetting. But the Ravens on that first drive, we saw them. We saw them just go out there and literally impose their will on Buffalo on those first three carries. And then obviously Lamar Jackson takes the sack. And sure, I mean, you can't continually run the ball on a second and 18, second and 20, whatever it might have been. But, you know, early in the game, the Ravens were getting chunk plays on the ground. And then, you know, we start to see the Ravens throw the football a bit more. And the Ravens, you know, they were running and then they kind of stopped and then they started again. And it wasn't working. You know, the run offense had kind of lost their mojo. The Bills were playing with intensity. Again, the offensive line, not a good day. But in that case, the Bills were stacking the box at points. They were trying to cage in Lamar Jackson, much like the Titans were doing. It wasn't, you know, the same exact defensive formations, but they had a plan to stop Lamar Jackson in the Ravens' run game, and they were executing it. So what should the Ravens have done? Well, you know, they should have probably thrown the football a bit more. Marquise Brown, 4 receptions for 87 yards. J.K. Dobbins, 3 for 51. Mark Andrews, 4 for 28. Willie Snead, 5 for 25. Miles Boykin, 3 for 20. And Patrick Ricard, 1 for 11. So Marquise Brown, he showed up to play. Marquise Brown showed up to play. And playoff Marquise Brown is a thing. He is part of the solution going forward for the Baltimore Ravens. He is not part of the problem. But, you know, again, the Bills were giving the Ravens stuff short. And for most of the game, the Ravens just weren't taking it. They weren't checking down. Lamar Jackson wasn't checking down. You know, it was difficult to watch in a sense because, you know, the Ravens were dialing up deep shots and they were doing this and they were doing that. But we've seen great offenses in the NFL pick up chunk yards by just taking the short stuff, taking what the defense gives you. You get down in the red zone. And if you can end every possession in points, that works. You don't have to necessarily put it in the end zone on every single play. Once you get into the fourth quarter and your backup quarterback is in, then you're forced to open the playbook and try to aim for the end zone every time. Baltimore put themselves in a situation where they were down. They had to claw their way back in, and they just couldn't do it. And that pick six was really the tide-turning play in this game. So it was a wildly disappointing outcome for the Baltimore Ravens offense. And looking at it, they definitely have some changes to make in the offseason. Wide receiver is really important. Allen Robinson, I don't think there's ever been, you know, as important a free agent wide receiver for the Ravens to get as of right now. And Allen Robinson, he's a perfect fit for what Baltimore wants, what Baltimore needs. And I don't think he's necessarily in it for the money. I think he just wants to win and won't necessarily care if he doesn't get 100 yards a game or 10 touchdowns in a season. And then obviously the offensive line also, you know, big changes coming there. And then also a tight end. But we'll talk about all of the Ravens changes that should be coming in the offseason as well as in our final segment here just in a bit. So overall, disappointing outcome for the offense. And hopefully they can learn from this. And Lamar Jackson takes it upon himself to improve. And so does the rest of the Ravens offense. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we'll be talking about the Ravens' defense and how they held Josh Allen and those Bills to just 10 points on offense. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals, and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind. The EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. Go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon. And we return here with our second segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you. And we just finished talking about the Ravens offense's disappointing performance in their 17-3 loss to the Bills in the AFC divisional round. And now we're going to get into the defense because this was a much different story. The Ravens defense, you know, coming into the game, there were a lot of questions. You know, could the Ravens get pressure on Josh Allen? Who was going to match up with the plethora of Bills wide receivers that they have? But the big one was just in general. Could the Ravens stop Josh Allen in the high-flying Bills offense? And to be completely honest, they did. They really did. The one concern I have with the defense, or I'll talk about what I think went wrong first or what I didn't like first. The Ravens, for the past couple of years, have not been able to get pressure on quarterbacks without blitzing. It's something I've talked about on the show a lot, and it showed against Josh Allen and the Bills' offense. It was play after play after play. Allen seemed to have a lot of time in the pocket. Now, they didn't not get any pressure. The Ravens did sack Allen twice. Yannick Ngakoue and Matthew Judon combined for a nice little sack together. And for the Ravens, it was really nice to see the Ravens and everybody on their defense come together for some pressure. But at the end of the day, it wasn't enough. The Ravens, they were getting free rushers, and Josh Allen would sidestep them. Matthew Judon and Deshaun Elliott, I believe, were culprits of that. The Ravens couldn't finish tackles at times, and it sometimes burned them. But look, at the end of the day, the Ravens' defense played really, really well. Marlon Humphrey had a pretty nice game. Marcus Peters, they were picking on him a bit early, but he still had a nice game. Jimmy Smith, LJ Fort had a nice game. You know, this team, this defense, I think came to play. And when it came to the Ravens' defense and how did they try to stop the Bills? Well, they tried to play some zone, and they tried to make sure that when they did play man, they were matching up with the right guys. But at the same time, the Ravens' defense sometimes did struggle. Tremont Williams gave up a couple of big receptions. I think he was just, you know, the stopgap. He was somebody who was the backup slot cornerback. The Ravens were experimenting with some coverages where they put Marlon Humphrey on the outside, and the Ravens don't trust anybody more in the slot outside of Tavon Young than Marlon Humphrey in the slot. So when they signed Tremont Williams, they signed him to be a slot corner. So he comes in to play slot. They're not going to put Marcus Peters there. They're not going to put Jimmy Smith there. They're not going to put Anthony Averett there. So what do? They put Williams in there, and he gives up a couple of big plays. But look, overall, the defense, I think, played as well as they could considering the circumstances. There were multiple situations where the Ravens defense was put at the Buffalo 40 or put at the Buffalo 35 or even closer to midfield when Justin Tucker misses field goals, Sam Cook shanks a punt, right? There are plenty of opportunities for the defense to go and give up 30, 35, 40 points to this Bills offense, but they held tight in the red zone. They made sure to force Buffalo into field goal tries, which in the wind, both teams kind of felt the effects of that. You know, Justin Tucker goes 1-for-3, and the Bills kicker Tyler Bass goes 1-of-3 as well. But again, in the NFL, if you score 3 points, you're most likely not winning the game. This game really all came down to the offense and the special teams as well. We can talk about the special teams a bit because, to be honest, with the defense, they played really well. You know, I will not stop singing their praises, and I've said they've played well over and over and over again because, you know, it's really true. The stats don't necessarily say that, oh, they had a phenomenal defensive performance. Four guys led the team with 5 tackles apiece in LJ Fort, Deshaun Elliott, Jimmy Smith, and Marcus Peters. They only get 2 sacks. They don't produce a turnover. All things considered, they were forcing the Bills to punt the football. You know, it was a nice game. Both Sam Cook and Cody Bohorquez had 4 punts apiece. Sam Cook, 4-for-163, and Cody Bohorquez, 4-for-147. So the Ravens were forcing the Bills to give the ball back to the Ravens offense. And, you know, the whole game, it was just, all right, well, one of these times the Ravens offense is going to put the ball in the end zone, right? I mean, they've been dominant again. The Ravens offense held to 3 points for the first time since January 16, 2010, exactly 11 years to the day that Baltimore lost and only scored 3 points against Buffalo. This was a defensive battle, and I had kind of said all week that playoff football has kind of a defensive struggle to it, a defensive mentality to it. The big offenses suddenly almost not shrink, but the defensive football just comes out. And so I predicted 30-27. Obviously, I was very wrong on the Ravens score, but It's difficult because the Bills, you know, their run defense in particular, they did not perform very well. Baltimore struggled to run the football. The Bills in this game only ran the football 16 times, and most of that, honestly, came in the form of either a fourth quarter bleed the clock out run or a Josh Allen kneel. You know, Josh Allen, 7 carries for 3 yards. They hold him to 0.4 yards per carry. Devin Singletary, 7-for-25, 3.6 yards per carry. TJ Yeldon, 2-for-4, 2 yards per carry. I mean, look, the only player on the offensive side of the ball to really burn Baltimore in this game was Stephon Diggs, who had 8 receptions for 106 yards and a touchdown. And that touchdown came because, inexplicably, there were 2 cornerbacks on the side of the field where there were 3 wide receivers on a screenplay from the 2 or 3 yard line. And the Bills they'll take that all day. They had two receivers block and Stephon Diggs walk into the end zone. So that was really the only guy who killed this team. Cole Beasley did not have a reception. Gabriel Davis, who had really turned it on late, the rookie for Buffalo, did not have a reception. John Brown had a nice 8 for 62. That's a solid game. But, I mean, overall, it was really only Stephon Diggs who burned this team from Josh Allen's weapons. So overall, this defense played a pretty phenomenal game, in my opinion. But it's just a matter now, can they put together that full football for 60 minutes? Buffalo obviously drives down the field, scores on their opening touchdown of the third quarter. And so that kind of puts the offense that's been struggling in a bind and saying, hey, now we really need to respond or else we might go down by an even bigger margin just because the Bills offense, hey, they had that momentum and they could score again. We need to respond here. We need to tie this game up 10-10. Baltimore did not do that. So I'm not putting fault in the defense here. There are certainly some situations and some aspects where Baltimore could have been better in this game against Buffalo. But again, 10 points. The Baltimore offense coming into this game, even coming into the playoffs, I mean, they averaged just around 40 points a game over their last five games coming into the playoffs. I mean, that's a ridiculous number. You know, they only scored 20 against Tennessee, sure, but the defense only gives up 13. In the two games that Baltimore's defense played, they gave up 13 points to the Titans, and I'm saying 10 points to the Buffalo Bills, although if you want to be realistic about it and do the final score points, it was 17 points. So at the end of the day, Baltimore's defense played really well. This is not their fault. The offense's inability to score points and move the football ended up being the downfall of this team, which is pretty different from what the story was throughout some of the regular season for this team. But the Ravens' defense showed that they still have it. They are legit. And with a few more acquisitions and personnel swaps, they could be even better in 2021. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we'll be talking with Peter Bukowski of Locked On NFL and Locked On Packers, as well as getting into the final scores from around the rest of the playoffs and talking a bit about where the Ravens go from here. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. The NFL regular season has finished and the playoffs have begun. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here for our final segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still talking with you here. And we just talked about the Ravens' 17-3 defeat to the Buffalo Bills in the 2020-2021 divisional round. But now we're going to talk with Peter Bukowski of Locked On NFL about my thoughts from this game, what I had to tell Peter. So let's get into it with Peter Bukowski of Locked On NFL and Locked On Packers.
The Buffalo Bills are going to the AFC Championship game. And that is because they beat the Baltimore Ravens 17-3 on Saturday night. Joining me now to talk about what happened with the Ravens, Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens. And Kevin, this is going to reignite the questions about Lamar Jackson in these playoff games, questions about this offense. He goes 14 of 24 for 162 and throws the backbreakingest of backbreaking interceptions that turns into a pick six when they had a chance, you know, to get right back in this game and tie it at 10. What needs to happen here moving forward for this team to be able to compete with teams like the Bills and the Chiefs and maybe even the Browns moving forward?
Yeah, Peter, it was a disappointing end to Baltimore's season for sure. And, you know, to put things in perspective for this Ravens team, the offense, as it's built right now, cannot win a championship. I know that's a pretty harsh statement, but you know, the Ravens, the top-rated rushing offense, they get their yards in chunks on the ground, and that's great. But sometimes their pass offense can stall out. Greg Roman has been the receiver of much flack this season from, you know, the Ravens flock, Ravens fans, and even some players have had some discrepancies with Roman. Hollywood Brown earlier in the season saying, you know, quote, why have a soldier when you can't throw to him and you never throw to him? So, you know, there are issues with the Ravens pass offense. The route concepts are terrible. They're simple. Steve Smith on NFL Network after this game said his six-year-old daughter who was sleeping could have done a better job than Greg Roman. So there's a lot going on with Baltimore's offense. And in this game in particular, you know, Lamar Jackson, there he had some plays where he did not make good decisions. He took a sack early on Baltimore's first offensive possession where he should have just thrown the football away. Obviously, that pick six back-breaking interception, that 100-yard return, that was his first red zone interception of his entire career. That's usually something you don't see out of Lamar Jackson. Yep. But if I had to place the blame on anyone or any unit in this game for the Ravens, it's the offensive line. The offensive line had by far their worst game of the season. And that's dating back to earlier in the year when Baltimore's offensive line didn't know what they were doing for about 3 or 4 weeks there. Lamar Jackson had a free rusher in his face or somebody who beat a block. It seemed like one out of every three plays. And I don't care who you are, you know, maybe the Patrick Mahomes of the world and some other elite, elite, elite tier quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and company. You know, if there's a free rusher, he can make some stuff happen. Even Josh Allen showed that on Saturday night that he could evade some free rushers. But the Ravens offensive line just could not block. In the offseason, Baltimore has to retool. They're getting Ronnie Stanley back, which will be a big addition. Nick Boyle coming back as that blocking tight end will be big as well. But long story short, Baltimore needs a center. Bad snaps plagued this team in the regular season. It plagued them again on Saturday night. They also need a number one receiver. Allen Robinson just seems like the dream fit in Baltimore. With the Ravens receivers as is right now, you cannot win, you know, consistently and get far with a receiving core that has Marquise Brown as your first receiver and arguably Miles Boykin is the number two. They're good players, but the Lamar Jackson just needs more help. And when he gets that help, it will improve him. We saw what happened in Buffalo when Stephon Diggs came there and helped Josh Allen. We saw what happened in Arizona when DeAndre Hopkins went there and helped Kyler Murray. Now it's Baltimore's turn to set up their quarterback for even more success going forward.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask you this question because it's been sort of a running bit for me, and for me it's for Packers fans who still complain about not having a receiver. I just wonder what this Ravens team looks like if instead of Patrick Queen, they took Michael Pittman Jr., or they took T. Higgins, or they took Laviska Shenault, or K.J. Hamler, or Chase Claypool. Does this game go a little bit differently? Because to your point, they just don't have the pass catching juice, and they do have plenty of guys on this defense to slow up. I mean, the Bills get 17 points and 7 of them come out of their defense. The Ravens defense is the strength of the team.
Yeah. I mean, there's always arguments as to, you know, what could have happened. And obviously looking if the Ravens do pick a receiver with that first pick in the 2020 draft instead of Queen. Look, Queen was a good player for Baltimore in 2020. I mean, him coming in as a rookie, not having a preseason, limited offseason, that affected rookies all across the league. But somebody I loved in the draft who was still available for Baltimore in 28 was T. Higgins. And just to, you know, kind of think about, man, well, what if Baltimore, instead of Queen, they go Higgins? You know, it's kind of trading out the defense for offense. Obviously, Baltimore's defense holds Buffalo to 10 points in this one. Obviously, 7 of those points for the 17 out of Buffalo came on that pick six. But I do think that the Ravens, you know, in this draft, there are plenty of big-time names. You know, in the 2021 draft, I'm talking about, you know, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, Ja'Marr Chase. There were a bunch of guys. But honestly, again, I'll go back to Allen Robinson, because if Baltimore has that veteran guy, the Ravens, you know, when 2021 starts up and they don't make an addition through the draft, if that's the route they go, they'll have three or four guys going into either their second or third year. So if you add on a rookie to that, that's five guys going into their third year or less out of probably six receivers Baltimore will probably keep on the roster. So moving forward, moving into the offseason, I think Baltimore is going to keep the four that they have, the four young guys. They're going to keep Brown, keep Boykin, keep Duvernay, and keep Prochet. But then they need to find a stud pass catcher, whether it's free agency, whether it's through trade. You know, hindsight, the Ravens were involved in DeAndre Hopkins, in those DeAndre Hopkins sweepstakes, and then Houston decides to trade him to Arizona. The Ravens were involved. They need to get involved, you know, with a few other receivers on that front. Is Adam Thielen going to become available? Do the Ravens make that swing for Allen Robinson? They need a couple veteran leaders. They brought in Dez Bryant, and he did wonders for that room. So having a couple of stud veterans, like an Anquan Boldin back in the day for Baltimore, would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I love the idea of Allen Robinson for Baltimore. Give him a chance to go compete and you know, play in the playoffs. He's a stud and has never consistently had good quarterback play. Although, to be fair, that was his choice. The Packers made him an offer and he picked Chicago. Kevin, thanks for your insight.
Again, it's always a blast to talk to Peter and to give my insight on the Ravens, and hopefully we'll be able to connect a bit in the offseason as well. But for the final bit of our third segment here, let's get in to the remaining scores throughout the NFL divisional round. And we'll start at Lambeau Field, where the Green Bay Packers defeat the Los Angeles Rams 32-18 for Los Angeles. Jared Goff goes 21 of 27 for 174 yards and a score, while Aaron Rodgers completes 23 of 36 passes for 296 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. Next, let's move to Arrowhead, where the Kansas City Chiefs defeat the Cleveland Browns in a thriller, 22-17. Baker Mayfield for Cleveland, 23 of 37 for 204 yards, one touchdown and one interception, while for Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes went 21 of 30 for 255 yards, one touchdown and one interception before leaving the game with a concussion. So backup Chad Henne came in the game and completed 6 of 8 passes for 66 yards and an interception. And finally, in the battle between two veteran star quarterbacks, Tom Brady's Buccaneers took down Drew Brees' Saints 30-20. Tom Brady goes 18 of 33 for 199 yards, two touchdowns and no interceptions, while Drew Brees goes 19 of 34 for 134 yards, one touchdown and three interceptions in what might be his final game. So now that those scores are done, we know that the AFC Championship game will be the Buffalo Bills heading to Arrowhead to face the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading to Lambeau to face the Green Bay Packers. So next year, hopefully for Baltimore, that's where they will be in the AFC Championship. And look, this probably won't be a very popular opinion, but I deem the 2020-2021 Ravens season a success. Now, obviously, the goal for any franchise is to win a Super Bowl. And obviously, for Baltimore, for any team, right, that's what the goal is, year in and year out. You want to go, you want to win a Super Bowl, right? That's a fine goal to have. And honestly, it's the only goal a franchise should have. But look, growth happens in stages. And for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, just turning 24 years old, he won a playoff game. He got that chip off of his shoulder, or I guess, you know, it's always going to be on his shoulder, but he was able to move past that. The Lamar Jackson can't win in the playoffs. Well, look, he won in the playoffs, and all right, sure, fine, he's 1-3, you can take that as you will, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He grew. He won a playoff game. He found a way to win in the playoffs, being down 10-0 in the first quarter. He did it. The Ravens grew as a team. They overcame adversity, overcame injuries, overcame a coronavirus outbreak in their locker room, overcame subpar play, right? This team grew. Now, I'm not saying that the Ravens should run it back and they should re-sign everyone and go into the season with the same coaching staff. That's already not happening. Mike McDonald, the linebackers coach, has already taken a job at the University of Michigan as their defensive coordinator. And defensive line coach Joe Cullen seems to be the favorite for the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive coordinator job. So there will be coaching changes in Baltimore. But the question now is, where does Baltimore go from here? Obviously, they need a number one wide receiver, a true number one wide receiver. I've been saying it all season. We saw what Stephon Diggs did for Josh Allen in Buffalo. We saw what DeAndre Hopkins did for Kyler Murray in Arizona. Those are two stud number ones who go up, make plays, are elite, and they help out a young quarterback who seemingly struggled in their year before they arrived. Lamar Jackson, he surpassed the level that Allen and Murray were at last season. And I think he improved a little bit over the course of this season as well. So adding a guy like Allen Robinson, maybe Adam Thielen does become available in a trade, and that's someone the Ravens want to go after. Regardless of the situation, though, the Ravens need somebody. I don't think Julio Jones is an option just because of his cap situation, but the Ravens need that Stephon Diggs. They need that DeAndre Hopkins. They also need a center. They need a center badly. Matt Skura did not pan out. He is probably done in a Ravens uniform. I like Tristan Colon-Castillo, but I think Baltimore wants to go with a higher-end prospect in the first or second round. You know, Creed Humphrey, maybe a Landon Dickerson who they could play in multiple positions. I do think Bradley Bozeman and Ben Powers have the potential to go out and play and start for the Ravens in 2021, but they might go with a Wyatt Davis if he becomes available in the first round. I don't see Baltimore necessarily going after a veteran stopgap as a starter, but I could see them going after someone like a Landon Dickerson, a Creed Humphrey, a Wyatt Davis in the draft. Pass rusher also becomes a major need with everyone but Jalen Ferguson on the Ravens' outside linebacker unit becoming a free agent. Matthew Judon, Tyus Bowser, Yannick Ngakoue, Pernell McPhee, and Jihad Ward, all free agents. Baltimore has to make some decisions. I personally think it'll be Ngakoue staying and Judon and Bowser walking. That's just my opinion. But someone like a Justin Houston would do wonders in Baltimore on a one-year deal. They would do wonders. They also need some safety depth. Deshaun Elliott played admirably this season, and so did Chuck Clark. But I do think they could stand to upgrade at the free safety position and get more of a real free safety. Deshaun Elliott, I'm not bashing him. I love Deshaun Elliott. I think he's a phenomenal player. But at the end of the day, I think the Ravens need somebody who's more of that ball hawk, and they can use Chuck Clark, Deshaun Elliott, and whichever free safety in a three safety package and move one of them up to dime. You can move Chuck Clark up to the dime linebacker position. You can move Deshaun Elliott over to strong safety and use that free safety in a free safety role. That's a really nice combo for me. So the Ravens, I think, need some safety depth and a backup slot cornerback. We saw Tremont Williams get kind of worked against Stephon Diggs in the slot when he was put out on the field. I don't think Williams returns. I think he might retire, honestly, and spend time with his family. He's a real family man, a really nice guy. But for Baltimore, if Tavon Young goes down, and you know that's a pretty likely if we're going off of his injury history, the Ravens need to be more prepared. They can't put Marlon Humphrey back in that slot position. They need somebody who can step in and play starter snaps if Tavon Young does go down. So Baltimore has a lot of decisions to make in the offseason, but at the end of the day, this team is just a few pieces away, and they will be back in 2021. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back tomorrow on Locked On Ravens, we'll be continuing our season recap and analysis of Baltimore's 17-3 loss to the Buffalo Bills and continue to dive into what should be done in the offseason. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.